What if I told you there is one word that will change everything? I'm going to reveal that one word today, but not yet. So what we're doing is we're starting a sermon series because I figure, hey, you know, it's summer. It might be a time where schedules are a little less hectic, and maybe everybody could use a little rest. I think rest is a great idea, but here's the problem. I think we've morphed what rest really means, what it was intended for. So this series isn't called rest. This series is called Restore, because we go for rest and we sell ourselves short at what rest is meant to be. It's meant to restore us. Restore us to what, Bill? I'm so glad you're here. We've got 5 weeks to figure it out. But what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about remembering the past, Genesis 2, 1, and 3, and then we're going to talk about Exodus 28 through 11. I put this picture up here because I remember as a kid we went to something and I got this pinwheel. And, you know, back when I was a kid, that was pretty high class. That was big stuff. And I was reflecting on, okay, what's the best image I can pull to my mind of the carefree days? Do you remember those carefree days? For some of us, it's been a while. For some of us, maybe you can't remember a carefree day. Let me try to paint one for you. It's summertime. You're out of school. Your parents have got everything covered. You're not worried about where the next meal is coming from. You're not worried about the clothes that you're wearing, even though I got all the hand-downs. I'm not bitter. And you have something as simple as a pinwheel. Think about that compared to today. A pinwheel that doesn't require a battery, doesn't have a USB-C connection that you have to remember to recharge, doesn't have regular updates to the app that you don't know how to work it now. Like yesterday, it worked. I don't know. It did something overnight. I don't know how to work it now. None of that was there, right? This is the ultimate in simplicity, a pinwheel. It doesn't get any more simple than that. You just hold it, and it does its thing. And if the wind isn't blowing, it doesn't do its thing. It's really complex. Those are the days I'm talking about, that simplicity. What if we could return to that kind of simplicity? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Doesn't that sound refreshing? We're going to try and get there, but it's going to take some time because, let's face it, we didn't get uncomplicated overnight. We didn't get complicated overnight. We're not going to get uncomplicated overnight either. It takes effort. So what is this thing that we call rest? Well, this is the best picture that I can offer you of that pure simplicity. We already talked about this one, but here's what most people think rest is. Rest is binge watching. This is a term that didn't exist when I was growing up. When I was holding that pinwheel, there was no such thing as binge watching because the TV went off at midnight and they played the Star Spangled Banner. And then when you hit the little thing, the tube came down with you. I just swiped my old guy card. But that's the way it was. You were forced to rest. You were forced to disconnect from everything else. Not so much anymore. We have 24/7 entertainment. We have 24/7 voices in our head. We have 24/7 phones that will not leave us alone. How many people are addicted to your notifications? It's amazing. I find myself in tons of conversations with people, partly because that's my job, but partly I just love to listen to people because I learn so much. And you know what I've learned over the last few years? Notifications rule. You ever been there? Right? Hey, man, you know, I really want to hear more about that. Bing! Excuse me. No, I don't think you really want to hear about me. I think you're addicted to your phone. That's what I think. There's counseling for that too, right? So I think we're addicted to this idea of 24/7, but we've missed something deeper. It's not about binge watching. It's not about hanging out and what we think is rest is not restoring. And we're going to talk a little bit about that too. What does it mean? So when it comes to this idea, here's the magic word. This is the one that changes everything. Remember. See, that sounds kind of anticlimactic. You were expecting something dramatic, right? Remember. That's all we got to do to find that simplicity, to find that comfort, to find that rest is remember. We're going to dive into the Ten Commandments here in just a second. Not all ten, just one. I bet you can't guess which one. But here's the interesting thing. God gave us ten commandments, did he not? How come only one of those commandments starts with the word remember? Remember the Sabbath. Is he afraid we would forget the other ones? I don't know. Let's talk about the stage that we're going to set here, because I think we've not only remembered, forgotten how to rest, I think we don't rest. We think we're resting, but we're not. So the setting that we're going to go to today has two parts. That's why I'm reading from Genesis and from Exodus. You think, well, that's interesting. It is fascinating. It's going to become clear here in just a second. If you can see the picture, it's God's arm. It's pointing out the side of creation here when he's just finished creation. That's the first part of it. God is creating something beautiful. He's done something amazing. But even God recognizes that there's a time to sit back and go, man, this is good. And find contentment. And cease striving. And then there's another time. And this time is we're going to talk about the Exodus. You think, well, that's a weird combination, creation and Exodus. Yeah, because we were created to be one thing, but we've enslaved ourselves to something else. What is that for you? Is that phone notifications? Is that your need to always strive? Is it your need to, what is it for you? Fill in the blank. There's something that we enslave ourselves to. And the idea of this Exodus as God gives them commands is also going to have significance as we unfold what it means to rest. So where are we headed today? We have two verses. I want you to ask this question as we read through and do the rest of the service today. What can these two examples teach me about Sabbath? And just so we're clear, Sabbath means literally to cease, to rest. So as we read these two examples, let's ask, what can they teach us about rest and ceasing? The first is in Genesis chapter 2. This is the creation story. Listen to how it went. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed that seventh day and made it holy. On it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And then to Exodus in chapter 20, recognize now that we are out receiving the Ten Commandments. This is God speaking to his people who have been enslaved by Egypt for hundreds of years and finally find freedom. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day, it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. These are the words of God for the people of God, and for these words, we are grateful. Let's unpack a couple of things that we find there. If God rested from his work, I think we can too. There's a certain point where you do something and it's good, right? But you could always do more. You have that personality in you a little bit, like, oh, there's just one more thing I could tweak. There's just one more thing I could tweak. That's not ever going to let you rest. At some point, we have to find contentment and recognize that what we have is good. And I'm not talking about settling, I'm not like, well, that's good enough. No, it's good. It doesn't have to be 100% perfect. I mean, 91% still an A, right? I wouldn't know that. I was down the scale in school, but my fun point average was extremely high, however. Exodus, though, come back to this for just a second, because here he is saying, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. These people have been in slavery for over 400 years in Egypt. They had no control over their lives, and for the first time, they have control. They can do whatever they want. Now, they can't really do whatever they want because they got to survive. They're in the desert. They're wandering. But why is it that God, in the middle of the desert, reminds them to rest, to keep a day, and have it be holy? See, I think part of the deal is it's not just remembering the Sabbath, it's what you remember on the Sabbath. It's what you remember on the Sabbath that brings you peace. And we're going to unpack that a little bit as well as we go. So maybe one of the best things we can do is to start with this idea of defining what Sabbath really is. What does it look like for us today? And one of the ways I find is most effective is to start with what it's not. So let's talk about what it's not. The Sabbath is not laziness, It's not inactivity. In fact, I think if you're this person, you're not restored. You think you're rested, but you're actually more tired than when you started. And not only that, but the things that you can see the collection of stuff on the floor there. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not condemning your choices. But what you put in your body is going to affect your body's ability to rest. Let that sink in for just a second. You can't out-exercise a bad diet, is what they say in the fitness world, right? Well, you can't out-rest a poor diet if it's catching up to you. So maybe on this Father's Day, go ahead, you know, let her rip, order the tres leches, whatever, do your thing. But maybe after that, we start to think about what it is that we put in our bodies. It's also not escapism, right? So one of the things that we do is we tend to just pretend like we're not there anymore. I got my work is horrible, my family life is horrible, my relationships, whatever it is that's messing with you, you just want to get away from that for a while. And so we do some crazy things, don't we? Other than binge watching, maybe it's we play video games until 4 a.m. I've never done that. Maybe we avoid certain things. Maybe we say, well, and guys, I'm talking to you right now. This is Father's Day. Maybe we say, well, I've got to provide for my family, so I need to work like, you know, 14 hours a day. In reality, we don't need to provide that much. What we're really doing is trying to avoid an uncomfortable situation. Maybe we need to buckle down and find rest in the peace that comes from restored relationships. And you can't restore a relationship until you are restored. And rest won't do that. Only restore will do that. The way that we rest is not taking us to restoration. The way that we rest is a mild and bland excuse for what God intended. That's what I think. It's also not legalism. If you look at the Pharisees and the way that they did rest, how many people counted your steps today? Yeah, you used to have to count your steps. Like, if you got too many, you're done. And then I always wonder, what happens? You just like sit down in the middle of the road until somebody collects you? Are you stuck there until the next day on Monday? I don't know what happens when you run out of steps. But there's all kinds of craziness in the Bible about what happens on the Sabbath. And Jesus is the one who brings it to light. He says, look, the Sabbath wasn't made, the man wasn't made for Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the man and woman. Right? We have conflated if we go to the legalism. And if you say, okay, the way that I'm going to rest is I'm going to schedule from this to this, I'm going to read this and this. I'm not saying that planning is bad, but if planning is trying to, if you're trying to rely on planning to restore you, you're missing a very important element. That element is the Spirit. The Spirit will move, will talk if you give it room. See, maybe it's more about giving it room than it is giving it a schedule. So then what is Sabbath, Bill? Okay, let's get to the good stuff. What I want you to do is to pay attention to the picture as we go through this series of slides and tell me what you observe. So Sabbath is to cease, literally. That's what the Shabbat means in Hebrew, to cease. Well, to cease what? You can't cease everything. You do have to breathe. You do have to live. So what is it that we're ceasing? If you go all the way back to the garden and that creation story and you read a little bit further, when we're cursed, when we leave the garden, we are destined to strive, to toil. And that literally means by the sweat of the brow to have anxiety. That's what happens when we separate ourselves. So ceasing means to cease striving, to cease the anxiety. If you remember from a few weeks ago, we talked about the part of your brain that processes anxiety. It cannot process two things at once. You remember what the other thing it can't process at the same time? Anxiety and God, my sermons are so sticky. This is awesome. It can't process anxiety and gratitude at the same time. So if you fill your mind with gratitude, you can't process anxiety. How would I fill my mind with gratitude? Oh gosh, I don't know. Maybe remember everything that God has done for me. Maybe remembering God's provision, God's love, God's grace, God's goodness. If you don't stop and do that, you're giving your mind over to anxiety. And it sounds like that. All right. It's also rehearsing God's past provision. We can read all about it here. Now, here's a cautionary tale, right? When we read about the things in the Bible, it's like, wow, God showed up in amazing ways. Like they were slaves for 400 years, and then Moses, and then the frogs, and the blood, and it's really exciting when you read it in the Bible, but understand, that's 400 years. What if you're the person living at 200 years? What do you see? Where do you find your rest? What situation are you in right now that you're waiting for God to do something spectacular and it's just not coming on the timeline that you want? How do you rest? How do you restore? Can you trust God? Can you see how he's done things in the past, how he's moved, how he's never left or forsaken his people, even in the most dire circumstances? And the cautionary tale is when we read it here, it's easy to flip two pages and cover hundreds of years of history. But if you're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel very restful. It doesn't feel very peaceful. But here's the catch. See, it's not about what's happening outside us. It's about what's happening inside us. No matter the circumstances, no matter if you're a slave in Egypt, no matter if you're dealing with relational difficulties, no matter if you're dealing with finances, medical, whatever it is, that's outside you. That's not inside you, and that's not where true restoration comes from. True restoration comes from your relationship on the inside with the Spirit, and it flows outward. It may or may not change your circumstances. It may or may not change that difficulty that you're dealing with, that medical prognosis, that job search, that whatever it is, but it will change you, and you will be different. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be contagious to others around you as you spread that peace, as you become an agent of grace. Rehearsing God's past provision will help us remember that. It gets better, though. It also builds trust for future provision. If God did it once, God can do it again. Now, he may not do it the same way. He certainly doesn't do it on my timeline. I don't know about you. I wish he would move a little quicker sometime with his provision, but he's never failed me. And here's the other catch and cautionary tale. I can say that. I've had a few trips around the sun. I've been able to look back over a lifetime and see, oh man, now 20 years ago, God did this great thing. And it took me 20 years to recognize that. I tell you this not to convince you that I'm an old guy, but rather to convince you that while you're in it, it's very difficult to see God's hand, but stick with it. Don't abandon grace. Don't abandon Christ. And you will see where his hand has been at work. I promise you. If you'll pay attention, you'll see where his hand has been at work. The other thing Sabbath is, it creates an abundance mindset. I have come that they may have life abundant, yes. Not life scarcity, not life barely, not life hanging on by my fingernails, life abundant. Is that in all the things that are outside of us? No, that's all the things inside of us. You can bear a lot on the outside if you've got a good inside. And that abundance in your spirit, that abundance mentality that God will provide, God's got me, it's enough, will help you find a peace that passes understanding. Gosh, I read that somewhere too, right? That peace is so deep that the world can't mess with it. That peace is so profound that the world can't take it away. And that peace is found with you and the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that ceasing will do for us. Have you noticed anything about the picture as we've gone along? Let's go, what? Brighter. Ooh, I love it, love it. Oh, look at that. And it dinged at the same time. That was cool. Did you hear that? I didn't plan that. Really. All right. So, and then it's reclaiming the identity of a free people. One of the things we talked about early on was that the creation story is really about contentment, if you think about it. How much is enough? Do you have to have the super duper duper deal, or is the super duper deal enough? We have a whole industry that is designed to make you unsatisfied. I don't know if you've picked up on this. It's called advertising. Because they're going to convince you that whatever you have is not enough. You got to have the next best model. You got to have the next car, the next clothes, the next whatever it is. Their whole job of advertising is to convince you that you don't have enough. You need more. That's not evil. I mean, they're trying to do a business. They're trying to sell things. That's the way the world works. I get that. But have you ever stopped to think about all those notifications and ads that come on your phone are designed to make you discontent? So you're not going to find contentment in that sale ad. You're not going to find this, your source of contentment in whatever latest product someone's trying to sell you. If your heart's not right to begin with, there's no product that anyone's going to sell you that's going to help your contentment. It starts within. Reclaiming this identity of a free people is important because that's the Exodus piece of this equation. Remember I said they were slaves for 400 years. They didn't get a say on anything that they did. When do you sleep? When do you eat? When do you work? What work do you do? That's not up to you. And generationally, think about this, generationally, for 400 years, they had no choice. And now they do. And what do they do with their freedom? Let's build a calf party. Not really high on the list of choices that God would have made, right? So yeah, so they're having a little trouble with this idea of freedom. But the freedom that we have in the spirit, the freedom that we have in restoration is the freedom to go past that slavery all the way back to creation, the way that we were made to be, the relationship that was meant to be, the way that we were talking and walking with God in the garden. We've talked about this before. We have the freedom to go back there, at least relationally. But we enslave ourselves to so many things, do we not? I've already mentioned some of them. Maybe it's substance abuse. Maybe it's workaholism. Maybe it's binge watching. What is it that's attempting to enslave you? I would take that to a time of rest, of ceasing, stop striving. Ask God to reveal what that is in you. And he'll point it out, not in a way that's like, hey, you jerk, you did this, you're so terrible. No, he's going to say, look, here's this thing that's standing between you and what you were meant to be. I'm going to reveal that to you. I'm going to walk with you through that. But you've got to do part of that as well. You've got to be willing to let that go. God's not going to rip it out of your hands. He'll take it from you if you give it to him. But he's not going to rip it out of your hands. That's our part. Are you willing to let go of what you think rest is? Are you willing to let go of what you think status is? Are you willing to let go of what you think provision is? Because all those things are things that we've got to be willing to let go if we're going to be reestablished, if we're going to have an identity as a free people, be taken all the way back to the way it was meant to be. It's very possible. It's also very difficult to stay there because the world will continually try to draw you back into that slavery. Whatever that is for you, you probably know. And then you notice the thing about the picture, not only has it gotten brighter, it's gotten richer. See, when you first start Sabbath, and you first start this idea of rest, it's very much like I got to stop doing things from 2 to 4 a.m. or p.m. That depends on when you're awake. Right, so 2 to 4 p.m. and I'm going to get rest. I'm going to be restored. It's very shallow. There's no depth to that. But the more you get into it, the more practice that you have, the colors get richer. The light gets brighter. Can you picture this? I'm not talking about looking visually. I'm talking about feel this picture. Can you feel the richness of the color? Can you feel the warmth of that light touching your skin? Like when you sit out on a summer day, not like this one, but a pleasant summer day when that sun is warm. Not when you're dripping wet and yeah, but when that sun hits you and it's warm. That's the feeling that restoration has. But we don't often take the time to get all the way there. It's not something that happens overnight. Like I said, it's something you stick with. You continually do, like breathing. I think everybody here has continued to breathe, and I would encourage you to do that, right? I would also encourage you to continue to seek restoration, not just rest. So here's the thing. Sabbath rest isn't about stopping activity. It's about stopping anxiety. I don't know if you've ever thought about Sabbath that way, but it sounds a whole lot more appealing when you say it that way. It's not about stopping activity. See, people use Sabbath, I hear this all the time as a pastor, I didn't come to church today because I'm resting. Really? How'd you rest? Well, there's this series on Netflix. It's about David. I mean, it's about the Bible, right? Yeah, no, they weren't watching that, no. I hear all kinds of excuses about why people don't come to church, why people don't participate in Bible studies, why people aren't reading the Bible, why all the things that are churchy, right? You think we can't see beyond them, but we can. And you know what? I see beyond them with grace because I'm not that different than you. I've been there. I've done all that stuff too. But my encouragement is, it's not about activity, it's about anxiety. And what activity will help you reduce anxiety? Gratitude. How do you find gratitude? Remember all the things that God has done and is doing and will do. And if you do that, I promise your anxiety levels will go down, or I'll give you your money back. So how to Sabbath. This is a very practical stuff. This is not glamorous. This is not very, very high tech, but it's something that you need to do. You got to plan to remember. Like, we schedule stuff all the time. We schedule stuff on our calendars. People will go out, oh, I got a meeting at 2. Right? Well, you got a meeting with God. Put it on your calendar. Be that deliberate about it. If you don't, it'll get eaten up with other stuff. Prepare to remember. How are you going to remember what God has done? Are you a journaler? Take your journal with you. Do you have one of these? If you don't, let us know. We'd love to get you one. There's lots of stuff you can remember about God in here. Maybe it's other stories and people that you've heard, their lives, the things that God has done in their lives that are inspiration to you. But plan and prepare to remember. Don't just go at it willy-nilly. It's like if you walked into a gym, you have a workout plan. What are your goals? No, I'm just going to like throw some weight around. Okay, well, that might get you fit, but it's probably not going to meet a goal of yours, because you don't have a goal. That might be the start of it, right? So this is purposeful. Also, practice remembering. How many people, and don't raise your hand, but this is a food for thought. How many people in the past week have remembered something that God has done for you? How many people have given thanks to God, not because it was something we were supposed to do, but because we were so overwhelmed by what God has done for us? See, if you dwell in that silence, if you go beyond just rest to restoration, you'll find that place. It's rich, it's deep, it'll change your life forever. And then resist the striving culture. Now, how many times have you sat your phone down and this is even better yet. I drove off the other day and I left my phone in the church office. And my first reaction was, oh my gosh, I left my phone in the office. I might stop breathing. I don't know. So, and then I remembered back to the pinwheel days when the phone was attached to the wall. And unless you had the super duper cord, you had to sit right there where the phone was and talk on it. You couldn't walk. When we got the final 10-foot cord, oh man, that was, because I could walk all the way around and sit in a chair. That was tough, man. I was pretty cool. No other kid on my block had the 10-foot cord, right? So yeah, my phone is not gonna, you know, make me die or not. But yeah, I did come back and get it, because I never know when you guys are gonna call and you know, you need a friend, so. But that's the thing, resist the striving culture. You don't have to be on 24/7. You don't have to be burning the midnight oil, the candle at both ends, whatever euphemism you want to throw out there. You can rest. If you think about it, this idea of resting to this level is trust. Do you trust God? Because if you don't, that's a whole other issue. Your life is going to be very difficult. If we don't trust God, who can we trust? At some point, we have to say, it's enough. That's where we find contentment. At some point, we have to say, God's going to take care of that. I don't have to be going 24/7. In fact, there's a great book. It was written a few years back. It's called 24/6. Matthew Sleeth is the author. He was a guy that hung out up there at Asbury where I went to seminary. And he took a very deliberate approach to how he did the Sabbath. And so he spells it all out. The book 24/6, if you want to read that, it will tell you exactly how to do all this stuff so that that Sabbath day is just that, just Sabbath and nothing else. And it's not about living your life 24/6 and then having to do something else. It's about 24/6 is a preparation for the most amazing day that you'll have in your week, that Sabbath. I'd encourage you to check it out. Finally, trust God with your rest. He's going to provide. You want to talk about someone who knows how to provide? Yeah, that's God. He's been doing it way longer than I have, way better than I have. And at some point, we have to settle into this idea of contentment. Enough. I have enough. I have everything that I need. Maybe not everything that I want, but I have everything that I need. Can you find contentment in that? Can you turn off the voices that say you need to do more, you need to be more, and say, this is good? I'm just going to rest here in a second. There's a tension that you have to manage. We're not settling for things. We're not being less than we can be. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is pause often enough and go, you know what I have is really good. Just rest in that, just for one day. Maybe set that apart. Keep it holy. Maybe celebrate that as a rhythm, not as a reward. See, that's the other thing that we do often. We treat Sabbath as a reward. Like, if I get this really hard thing done, then I can rest. What if the rest oration was a rhythm? What if it's something that we did regularly? It would be like sharpening the saw when you have to cut lumber 6 days a week. If you don't sharpen the saw, that's going to be a pretty rough deal. So in this idea, it's really about going back to the most simple thing of all, the way that we were created to be in the beginning. It's like the pinwheel. There's no apps to update. There's no battery to recharge. There's just simply holding it, letting the wind do its job, and enjoying it. And when you get to that point of resting beyond the simple rest to restoration, I bet you got there, and if you look at the slide, you'll see a very subtle word by remembering. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Will you pray with me, please? God, thank you for giving us this command to rest. But God, help us not to settle for what the world says rest is. Help us to go all the way until we are restored in our spirit. You can make us new. You can do anything. So God, as we spend time with you, remind us of who you are. Remind us of what you've done. Show us what you're doing right now. Help us to rest in the promises of what you will do, so that we'll never feel like it's not enough. God, I pray for every soul here. We're dealing with things in this world that are very complicated. This world is in disarray. There are wars and rumors of wars. There are all kinds of divisiveness in our world today. God, I'm convinced it's a restlessness that is not of you. So God, help us to set that aside for just one day. Help us to set it aside on a rhythm. Help us to come alongside you, listen to your spirit, be restored, be renewed, be re-energized, be reformed in the way that you made us to begin with. And help us to understand that the rest really means restoration, so that we look more like you than when we started. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.